USA Wealth Group, Inc. presents Money Wise with the Money Guys. Ray Lance and Pete Lance are your hosts for the next hour, talking retirement topics and having the retirement conversation for those at or nearing retirement. For more than 20 years, USA Wealth Group has been committed to helping families protect and grow their wealth. The conversation starts now. Welcome to Money Wise Radio.
Good Sunday morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to MoneyWise, as I talk to you in my best radio voice on a Sunday morning. We have to practice our radio voice once in a while. Well, first of all, I'd like to welcome you to our program. This is being broadcast to you the Sunday after Thanksgiving. We've got some interesting things to talk to you about today, having to do with charities and charitable giving and some things that you might want to know about that. And I wonder how many people realize that the Tuesday following Thanksgiving is called Giving Tuesday, not only nationally, but on a global basis. So it's the day when people are encouraged to make gifts for charity and to do some good. Well, this morning we have a very special person with us. We're very pleased, and I'd like to begin by introducing Leonard Lee. He's the fairly new president and chief executive office of the Community Foundation in southeastern Massachusetts. And welcome, Leonard. Welcome. Thank you for being here with us.
Well, thank you for having me. This is really an honor to be able to talk about the work of the Community Foundation and the work of the community, which I'm excited about.
Now, the proper name of the foundation is the South Coast Community Foundation. Is that the correct name?
Yes. Okay. And that's a relatively change from the Community Foundation of Southeast.
Okay.
So, yes, the correct name is South Coast Community Foundation.
Yeah, I like the name. So my involvement with the foundation goes back quite a ways, too, because not that it's any special distinction, but way back when it was created, I was one of the incorporators,
oh,
I guess.
Yeah.
But I think there were about 100 people who fit that role at the time, so there's no major distinction there, but it's a nice organization, and most of the work that the foundation does is to benefit other nonprofit corporations, if I'm correct. Is that basically true?
Well, sort of. It's a combination of both.
Okay.
Of, donors and corporations, and also a vehicle to get money to people in need.
Okay. So does it benefit individuals as well as organizations?
Oh, totally.
But
we don't donate directly to individuals. It would go through a not-for-profit organization such as United Way or YOU,
okay,
and other programs that will then tap the individual,
okay,
community person.
Good. Well, I'd like to give a little bit of background on Leonard. Mr. Lee comes to the Community Foundation where previously he was general manager and curator for the Massachusetts Department of Conservation and Recreation. Is that a state agency?
That's a state agency, yes. Acronym is DCR.
Okay, yep. You know, I know it more by DCR than I do with the longer name. I've heard that name many times before. But you've also done other work as a curator for the, the Mass Department of Conservation and Recreation, DCR, but you've been a consultant to private organizations. You've held leadership positions with the Massachusetts Department of Public Health and as well as other nonprofits. So I noticed that you had also worked for the Action for Boston Community Development, ABCD. I've heard of them many times before.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of work did you do there?
Well, I was the executive director of Dorchester Neighborhood Service Center. ABCD, Action for Boston Community Development, is a CAP agency.
Okay.
Basically an anti-poverty agency that helps people in transition. The equivalent in every city in town, well, every city, major city, there is a CAP agency. For mm-hmm. New Bedford, for example, is PACE.
Right. I've heard of PACE. Many people are familiar with PACE.
Yes. PACE would be the equivalent. Not as big as ABCD in Boston, but the functionalities would be pretty similar. Head Starts, food insecurity programs, mm-hmm. Heating, getting money for heating, home heating, stuff like that, and a real support to those who are considered under a certain level of the poverty line.
So one of the things about your background interests me quite a lot. So I understand that you are an urban beekeeper.
You keep bees. Yeah.
Tell me about that. What do you do when you keep bees?
Well, it's interesting because people always ask me, how did you, city guy, become a beekeeper? And I was watching this thing on WGBH, and they were talking about the decline of bees and the importance of bees in our environment, and especially our food chain. And the guy left a number and said, if you call me, I'll be more than glad to come to your house and set you up. I called the guy from Boston Bees, and he came up. He spent 2 hours, and I had 3 hives in my backyard from there. I was hooked. I was hooked. So now I got about 14 hives. It's been fascinating, introducing the whole concept of beekeeping to young people, to older people, to everyone. My goal was to get 10,000 people to take one hive.
Wow.
Because of the decline of bees, it has such a huge impact on produce and pollination of our food chain that we need.
Right.
I mean, technically, I have a friend in Western Mass who's a professional beekeeper. He has about 22 to 3,000 hives. And he trucks them around the country to pollinate plants. He goes and does the almonds in California. Then he comes up and does the cranberries up here. Then he goes back down to Florida and does the oranges in Florida. It's really, really fascinating. And it's really important of me being a beekeeper, of educating people how important pollinators are.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to different charter schools and work with kids. And that's one of the things, being new to the New Bedford and the South Coast region area, I want to partner up with folks who are beekeeping novice and or master beekeepers.
Okay.
I want to spread the love about beekeeping.
So we're talking with Leonard Lee this morning, and I want to mention to you that we had a gentleman who worked for us with us for a number of years. He was also a beekeeper, and he had an idea in mind that he was going to go out and raise major sums of money and figure out how to create more beehives and beekeepers in the country. Mm-hmm. So if we didn't have bees to pollinate crops, then all the crops would die, I guess.
They would die. No pollination, forget about it.
So I mean, people don't realize that.
They don't. They really don't realize how important honeybees are and pollinators.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was in China, and it's so bad in China, they have people who are considered pollinators. And what they do, they take these microscopic needles and they pollinate the different plants.
Oh,
so imagine
goodness.
Seeing a whole row, like 500 guys in these white vests pollinating plants. I've never seen that like that in my life because of the decline of bees.
That's amazing. That almost sounds like a science fiction movie,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
What happens
when the bees die?
Yeah.
And the plants die and people don't have any food anymore.
It's like no almonds, you know, no cranberries. No, it's that serious, though.
Yeah. And is it really a serious problem today, do you think?
Totally, totally. And
wow.
Maintaining bees, you know, I try to do it in a very natural way and not intervene in terms of opening the hive and stuff and stealing all the honey. I do steal some of the honey sometimes. I get about 300, 400 pounds of honey. But it's really important to just make sure that they're okay, because there's pesticides out there. There are mites, there are GMOs, where people are, which has a direct effect on beehives and pollination.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really about educating people and being able to talk about the experience. And one interesting thing about beekeeping is that honeybees are not natural to America. They were brought here by Europeans.
I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a natural bug. They were brought here and cultivated to cultivate honey.
Wow. You know, I was just thinking as I'm sitting here, I'm fascinated just talking about bees and pollination and everything else. We could probably talk for the entire hour just about bees and beekeeping.
Yes.
But I'm also thinking that you're working with the bees in many respects is sort of like what you do at the South Coast Community Foundation.
Yes.
Because you're pollinating other individuals and nonprofit organizations, and you're helping keep them alive. And so there's got to be some common purpose here that we could write about at some point, Leonard.
No, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because when I came and we had our annual meeting, and I was trying to think of the theme, and I said, well, you know, I analogize it with bees, So the theme of the annual meeting was bee. So I had a beehive on stage and came out with my bee helmet and my clothes on. Mm-hmm. And then I talked about how bees work as a unit for the good of the hive.
Right.
And how everything has a function for the good of the hive. Hmm. Just like we have functions for the good of the community.
Yep.
So
it's a very, very similar analogy, very useful analogy.
Yes.
But mostly we're going to be talking about charitable things today.
Yes.
But I have to ask one question. What happens when it gets cold? Do the bees go indoors? Or do they hibernate or what?
Well, they hibernate. And that's one of the things as a beekeeper you have to keep in mind of not taking too much honey out, because honey is the stores. And
sure.
So they use that honey when it gets cold, like now. The bees huddle around the queen and keep her warm by flapping their wings.
Hmm.
And so it could be 2 degrees outside, it'll be 80 to 90 degrees inside, because the bees rotate of flapping their wings, which that friction creates heat. And that's what they do for the whole winter.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So I won't go too far with that analogy either. All the male bees are all the worker bees, right?
No. It's female-dominated. Males serve one purpose, to impregnate the queen. Hmm. Other than that, they're fat. They don't have stingers. They lay around. And to be quite honest with you, once they hook up with the queen, it kills them.
Okay.
It rips the queen's abdomen, rips their abdomen out while they're, you know, getting her ready. But however, around this time, because it's female dominated, they kill all the male bees and drag them out to hive, because they don't serve a purpose.
Okay.
Only time they serve a purpose is in the springtime when they're impregnating the queen.
Sounds like life.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
Oh.
Ladies, you don't need to listen anymore to this show. Well, Henry Ward Beecher once said, every charitable act is a stepping stone towards heaven. And it's true. When we think about supporting charities and doing good, this is the time of year when every nonprofit in the country starts sending out all kinds of announcements.
Yes.
I must get two or three every single day in the mail asking for donations and money. There's a lot of analogies in what you do and what you do privately with the bees, so that's terrific. We're going to take a very short break, and we're going to come back in just a couple of minutes and continue our discussion with Leonard Lee. He's the new, your CEO and executive, no, your CEO yes. and president.
Yes.
Is your title, of the South Coast Community Foundation. But we want to come back and talk about what does the foundation do, and how can you benefit by making donations to the South Coast Community Foundation. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We will be right back.
You're listening to Money Wise with the Money Guys, hosted by Ray Lance and Pete Lance. If you have questions about retirement, call today, 508-998-8858. That's 508-998-8858 for a consultation or a second opinion on your current retirement plan. 508-998-8858. And now, back to Money Wise with the Money Guys.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to MoneyWise, brought to you every Sunday morning by USA Wealth Group. And by the way, if you'd like some information from our office, you can call us at 508-998-8858, or you can visit our website, usawealthgroup.com. We'd be happy to send you information. But this morning, we're meeting with Leonard Lee. He's the president and CEO of the South Coast Community Foundation, and welcome back, Leonard.
Oh, thank you.
Happy to have you here. You know, I've always been an admirer of the Community Foundation, and recently I've just received a copy of the 2021 annual report. Could you tell us a little bit about what the Community Foundation does and what some of the organizations are that benefit from the foundation?
Oh, definitely. You know, we're a nonprofit organization established back in 1995. Covering 41 cities and towns in the South Coast, southeastern Massachusetts. Our mission is real, real simple. Philanthropy by matching donors and resources with community needs and benefits to the region.
Okay.
Which we're really, really excited about that, because We match people who have resources and hearts of giving to people who are in need in the community. And that could be from, you know, working with young people, working with folks, food insecurity, working with arts and culture in the region. You know, some of our focus areas, of course, the New Bedford, Fall River, Brockton, Fairhaven, Dartmouth. We really look at who's in need. And one of the things that we were really proud of, we're good stewards of the funds that we're entrusted to by different people who are making donations mm-hmm. or putting their money there. But we're also, the reason why they trust us for that, to put their money there, is because they know we have our fingers on the pulse of what's going on in the region.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be assured. And I'll put it in a way of an investor. You know, they always look at ROI, return on investment. So they like to see a return on investment to help support and move the community. And I always frame it around TMI, touch, move, and inspire to bring about real change in the community.
Okay. So when I'm looking at this 2021 annual report, it says that your assets for 2021 were a little over $53 million. That's pretty significant.
Well, in the community foundation world, that's okay, because yep. the average community foundations, a lot of my colleagues in Massachusetts, there's 15 of us, it's averaging around $200 million.
Okay.
But I'm proud to say to come in to the South Coast Community Foundation over the past 6 months with the $53 million in assets that we manage is a joy. My predecessor, John Vasquez, Kinsellis,
right.
who is an amazing person, really brought the foundation to where it's at today, and it's an honor and privilege to now follow up with that.
Mm-hmm.
And working with the people on the ground, working with the United Way, working with PACE, working with North Star, working with the YMCA, the Boys and Girls Club. I mean, it's just been a real honor to make those connections and then see the smiles on the people's faces who are really benefiting from
sure.
those donations.
Do you get involved with cultural organizations also?
Yes, yes. Okay. We work with the Cape Verdean Cultural Association, the Portuguese Association, and others. Very close with the work of Lee Blake and the museum with Frederick Douglass and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea is really being out there and making those connections.
Right. What we've always tried to do in our own small way here is things that would either be helpful for organizations like the Community Foundation or other nonprofits as well. And many of us in our own offices here are involved in assisting people who are in need.
Mm.
As an example, I served in the Marine Corps. My son did, my father did, and my grandfather did.
Wow.
And so we've been supporters of the Toys for Tots program
oh, yeah.
for a while, and
oh,
we're
yeah.
a collection center. And that's important. A lot of kids don't have anything or very little at Christmas time. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to make a donation to Toys for Tots, there are numerous collection points throughout the area, or you can just drop it off at our office. We're a collection point here. But I'm looking at this Community Foundation report, and I see that your investment return in 2021 was 11.5%.
Yes.
That's remarkable.
It is. We're in it for the long game. I mean,
sure.
of course, as you've seen what we've been going through in the country
mm.
around investments like that, things have been pretty bleak. But as my investment counselors have said, Len, this is a long game. This is not a short game, and we try to explain to people. We invest for the long term, for the full benefits of the foundation being able to do the work that we do.
It also says you had 1,825 gifts. You had almost 1,400 donors. You created, or I assume you created 15 new funds, and you
mm-hmm.
got 217 total funds that you're supporting.
Mm.
That's amazing.
No, it is. It really, and you know, you know, we give out over, this past year when I came on, we gave out over 500,000 scholarships, over 216 individual scholarships to young people going off to college, which is pretty amazing
mm-hmm.
During this time to give that type of support. And those different funds that we have and that have been set up, people are being very deliberate in terms of where that money wants to go, where they want that money to go.
Okay.
If it's a New Bedford High School, if it's Wareham High School, if it's Dartmouth High School, which really, really helps and change the lives of these young people going.
Sure. I bet a lot of kids in the area, a lot of students and probably parents too, are not aware that they can apply for scholarship money through the Community Foundation.
Yes, yes. And that is so, I'm glad you brought that up, because that always is one of the problems for the Community Foundation, is we marketing and getting it out there that these things are available to all. And the beauty of it is it could be income-based, it could be, you know, demographics, it could be, so there's a lot of different ways where one child could wind up getting four different or five different scholarships. Because they fit certain criteria that the donors would like them to see. And some of it could be those in the fishing industry or those who were in a certain trade or something. Mm-hmm. We did have a gentleman, Manny Pina, who put $100,000 in so that he wanted to make sure that it was given to Cape Verdean young people.
Okay.
And the reason being because his dad was a scholar, but he couldn't go to college because he couldn't get a scholarship.
Mm.
And he wanted to leave, make it part of his legacy of doing something very, very deliberate so no kid would have to go through that.
Sure. Well, I can relate to that fully. My own father went to 10th grade in high school. That was it. And then he went into the Marine Corps for 20 years and fought in two wars.
Wow.
When I went to school, my folks didn't have any money. I think they paid a total of $2,000 towards my education, wow. Period. And everything else I paid for, put myself through school. So a lot of kids, if you're a grandparent, a parent, or a student, and you don't know that the Community Foundation has scholarship money available, you need to investigate it. One of the things I'm curious about, if somebody wants to call and get information or visit a website, I assume they could do that also?
Yes, they can definitely reach out to us. Our website is southcoastcf.org, and we're available, and someone will get back to you promptly. Just to explore the different opportunities, if you're doing estate planning, if you're looking for a place to open up a scholarship to honor a loved one, or even an issue. It could be folks who want money to be supporting a rape crisis center, or maybe, you know, drunk driving mm-hmm. programs and stuff like that, because they've had personal experiences with a loss of a loved one,
sure.
and they want that not to happen to others. So they come to us and say, can we set up a fund that will support this program that's against drunk driving, or, you know.
Well, I have a very good friend in the community. I'm not going to mention his name on the air, but I'm active in a couple of organizations with him. And he had a high school student son who took his own life by suicide.
Mm.
And it's devastating, but ultimately my friend turned it around and created a nonprofit organization, and he lectures high school students at assemblies and what signs to look for, what do you do if you have concerns about this, or if you're thinking about suicide, you know, don't, and here's where you go for advice. So there's lots of needs in any community,
yes.
aren't
yes.
there?
Yes. I'm glad you brought, because my background is public health, and I oversaw suicide, youth violence, sexual assault, domestic violence, intimate partner violence, falls for seniors, and injury for the state for over 15 years. So when you talk about things like suicide and stuff, you know, the impact and the people who want to support it is amazing. And starting programs like that that have power to bring about change and support of not only young people, but anyone going through some changes in their life, which they're contemplating suicide.
Right. Well, and in that category, Thomas Edison once said, our greatest weakness lies in giving up. The most certain way to succeed is always to try just one more time.
Mm.
And that applies to lots of things. Well, again, ladies and gentlemen, we're meeting this morning with Leonard Lee, who's the new president and CEO. I say new, but you've been there about 6 months now, I guess.
I'm going to still say new until
that's new.
Yeah. Yes, 6 months.
And you really have a big plate full of activity there, don't you?
I do.
Can you bring any beehives into the Community Foundation? Probably not.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I'm at the DeMello Building in New Bedford, And so I saw Mr. DeMello and I said, can I put a beehive on your roof? And he gave me that look.
Of course he did.
He didn't answer me. So no answer doesn't mean no. So I'm hoping that maybe I can put one of my hives up there.
Yeah. Well, I want to know more about the Community Foundation, but I do want to mention that my wife, attorney Tenny Lance, and her associate partner, attorney Michael Coleman, do a lot of work in helping people with estate planning.
Mm.
And very often they will come up with people who don't have an end beneficiary in mind, and they'll leave money to charity. One of the great charities that folks can leave money to is the South Coast Community Foundation.
Yes.
Because it's one source, and it's going to get used in a lot of different ways. So if you don't have a particular charity that interests you, give something to the foundation. You can give it while you're alive. You can give it through your estate plan. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more specifics about the foundation and some ideas about charitable giving and tell you some of the resources that we have here in our offices. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We will be right back.
This is MoneyWise Radio with Ray and Pete Lance, powered by the USA Wealth Group. Collectively, more than 80 years of experience helping clients define and plan for their retirement goals. To begin a retirement consultation, call 508-998-8858. That's 508-998-8858. This is MoneyWise Radio.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to MoneyWise. And this Sunday morning, we're pleased to be meeting with Leonard Lee. He's the president and CEO of the South Coast Community Foundation. We've got information that we're happy to share if somebody's interested. If you do an estate plan here and you'd like to make a donation, we can assist in helping set that up. We've also got a lot of information available on charitable giving and the different kinds of charitable things that you can use. I assume, Leonard, and you know, thank you again for being here, that you probably work with things like charitable gift annuities, for example.
Yes. Yes.
And how that works very simply is somebody gives a sum of money, let's say it was $100,000, and they'll get a lifetime of income on that based upon whatever the interest rate is at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of their life, whatever is left in the fund goes to the charity that's been named. Is that accurate, fairly
that's
accurate?
That's pretty accurate.
Okay.
But sometimes they develop that fund with a specific purpose in and around that. We have a number of different funds, our annual South Coast Community Foundation Fund. We have scholarship funds. We have designated funds, board-created funds, don't advise funds, which on that same line.
Okay. So that's good to know, because one of the things that I've done a fair amount of over the years, too, is called a charitable remainder trust, in which somebody wants to sell a piece of investment property, income property, for example. Let's say it's a small apartment building. Typically, it has to be with no mortgage on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they transfer it into a charitable remainder trust. Then the asset gets sold. They don't pay capital gains tax at that time. And then the money gets invested. But in that document, you have to name an end charity in mind that's going to end up with some of the money at the end. Mathematically, it has to be about 10% as a guarantee.
Mm.
But it's a nice way for people who are thinking of selling something. They don't want to pay capital gains tax, and they'd like to benefit a charity or charities at the end. If you want more information than that about that, give us a call at 508-998-8858. We'd be happy to set that up. Do you do any work at all with life insurance? Does anybody ever leave a life insurance policy naming the foundation as a beneficiary? I'm not sure whether you do that or not.
I haven't experienced that in my short tenure there. I have experienced estates where people leave in their will money being donated directly to the foundation. It's very interesting because sometimes you have challenges with the heirs at the end, because they couldn't understand why would someone want to donate so much money to a
sure
And once people understand, you know, I've seen in the short time I've been there, I've seen people just their hearts bleed with gratitude, understanding what we do and how we do it for this region. And it changes their minds, believe it or not.
Sure.
Because they didn't realize. They just thought it was a place where the money goes and they just do frilly-nilly things with it.
Right.
But being able to sit down and have them see and feel the work that's being done is pretty amazing.
Well, Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, "You cannot do a kindness too soon, for you never know how soon it will be too late."
Mm.
So we've had a lot of clients over the years that want to leave something for charity, or if they don't have close relatives, they might leave a larger chunk of their estate to charities. You can do that. So the foundation services 41 cities and towns. It's a fairly large chunk. I'd say it's probably about, 15 to 20% of the area of the state, from looking at the map for this. And the foundation itself is a 501c3 organization.
Yes.
So if somebody wants to donate money to it, they get a tax deduction.
Yes.
And if you give money while you're alive, you can reduce your income tax for the year.
Yes.
So there's lots of reasons to do charitable gift planning. You don't do fundraising per se, but you encourage gifts, obviously.
Yes, but we do put out annual giving. We do that twice a year. Matter of fact, we're right in the middle of our annual giving campaign right now.
I just got one in my house.
That means it's working.
It is.
And then we do an event called Summer's Last Blast every year, which, you know, this is my first one, and it was pretty amazing on the grounds of one of our cooperators, Beppe Heidekooper. Which was pretty amazing, and we raised some funds, and folks got together to talk, but also folks got together to really honor people helping people, which was pretty beautiful to be a part of that.
Sure it is. Well, in your annual report for 2021, there are not only descriptions of some of the programs that you fund and help, but as you said, you also work in the major cities of Brockton and Fall River and New Bedford. I was just curious, is Attleboro included in your community area?
It's interesting you mention that. We just met with the mayor and with the YMCA up there, and they're doing some pretty amazing work. Because Attleboro has some issues that people make assumption that Attleboro is okay, and, you know, and they don't have any issues, but we all have issues because no one is perfect. Communities aren't perfect. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of it is that we come together to help solve some of those issues. And so to answer your question, yes, we're reached out to Attleboro and Taunton and trying to just develop how we can be supportive.
Good. No, I'm glad to hear that. Well, let's talk a little bit about charitable giving or Giving Tuesday. It's a global generosity movement that was established actually as recently as 2012. I didn't realize how recently it was created. And basically it encourages people to do good, to give money. And since that short period of time, it's grown into a year-round global movement that has inspired millions of people to give and, you know, celebrate generosity. So those are really good things it does. And basically, it coincides with the time of year right after Thanksgiving, right before Christmas, when people are thinking about maybe year-end tax planning. It's a time when people maybe tend to be a little bit more generous. So it encourages people to do good. I guess I'm not sure if that's their motto, but it certainly does. Do you participate in some particular way in Giving Tuesday, or are you just a recipient if people choose to give to the foundation?
Well, we promote it. We support it. I get excited about Giving Tuesday, not just because of that Tuesday, but because every Tuesday after that, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, because it's really about, you know, it's touch, move, and inspiring folks to understand the importance of giving. And being able to help support those who can't support themselves, which is pretty amazing. So I get excited about it. We're actively involved with Giving Tuesday. I mean, just think about it. 80 countries have been involved in officially in Giving Tuesday, and $2.7 billion were donated over a 25 period alone in the United States.
Wow.
So I just, you know, and they were talking about this, that it's been over a 9% increase over the past year, even though we were coming out of COVID. People's hearts are bleeding to help and support people,
mm-hmm.
which is a beautiful thing in a number of ways. And I'm glad that we're part of it. And we will continue to do it not only on Tuesdays, but Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because the hearts of people of giving is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really is amazing.
What a lot of Americans don't realize is that Americans in general are a very generous people.
Yes, yes.
We're very high yes. givers in this country, and it's important. I've done charitable things virtually all my life, and no matter how poorly off you think you are, you can always benefit somebody else, and that's somebody right. else has a need that's greater than your own.
That's right.
Would you agree?
My mom would always say, you can only wear one pair of shoes at a time. So you can share the other pair of shoes with someone else, and you wouldn't feel a loss at all.
Yep.
So for me, I think, to your point, I think it's important that we consistently give, and we have a giving heart and a giving spirit, and we should continue with that, because sometimes we get bogged down with the day-to-day, and sometimes we get awoken when we go to church.
Yep.
Because we're in the Catholic faith and the Baptist faith and the Christian faith, they're some of the largest givers. And it's not even about the quantity. It's about just the consistency of $10 a week or $100 a week.
Sure.
And you got millions of people doing it. It has such a huge impact.
Do you have people who donate on that basis, who give money on that kind of a system?
Yes.
On a regular basis to the foundation?
Yes. Yes.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yes. They have their own mini fundraisers or cake sales, and they'll come back and give us a check for, you know, $2,000 and say, can you put that into the Manny DePina Fund?
Mm-hmm.
Can you put that into the John Vassellis Fund? Can you put that into the Irwin Jacobs Fund? I mean, there's always these opportunities where people, no matter how small, it can have an impact.
And if somebody is interested perhaps in donating to a particular fund, could they be in touch with the foundation and find out all the kinds of organizations that you support and
get a list? They can actually go to the website,
okay.
South Coast Community CF. .org, and they will be able to see everything, and we have a button there where they can click and mm-hmm. they can contribute and or find out more information about who we're funding. And if they wanted to target it towards a certain group or organization, that can happen very, very easily.
And just to remind everybody, the South Coast Community Foundation is a tax-exempt public charity, and you get to take a tax deduction. Depends on your tax bracket and other kinds of things, if you make a donation. So why wouldn't you make a donation? We're going to take one final break in just a moment and come back and continue our discussion with Leonard Lee. And it's really a pleasure to have you here. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We will be right back.
Call 508-998-8858. That's 508-998-8858. This is Money Wise Radio. Money Wise is in many places. If you missed a minute of the show or want to listen to past episodes of Money Wise, go online to usawealthgroup.com and click on the radio page. That's usawealthgroup.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to MoneyWise. And we're so pleased to be talking to you today about charitable giving and our own South Coast Community Foundation. We're excited to have with us this morning Leonard Lee, the president and CEO of the foundation. I suspect that a lot of people don't really have a real understanding of what the foundation does. It's hard to get your mission out in some ways, I would suspect.
You're absolutely right. And that's one of the things that in my short tenure here, I'm focusing on in terms of getting the message out to the people around what we do, why we do it, and how it has an impact on their city and town.
Mm-hmm.
We just got finished, and I'm excited about, we just brought on Christian Sacerati as our new communications and marketing director, who is pretty amazing. And so we're really excited about having her on board, helping us develop the marketing strategies to get the word out about what we do.
Yeah, I'd like to meet her at some point in time as well, and we'd be happy if you have brochures, information, and so forth. We were very restrictive about other kinds of things that we put out here for the public to see, but would be more than happy to put anything out with the community foundation.
That'd be awesome. Well, I'll have stuff to you. That'd be great.
Well, the other thing is that when the law firm here, Lance Law Inc., works on somebody's estate plan, they try to always ask the question of, is there any charity that you wish to benefit? Have you given any thought to leaving anything for charity? So it would make it easier if we had information about the foundation. I mean, a lot of people, no disrespect, will automatically think, well, maybe I'll leave something to the Cancer Society or something like that. Mm. Well, they've got a lot of money already, a lot of these established organizations, and there are many charitable organizations that do a lot of good things. But I don't think people really understand how much a community foundation invests back into the community and programs and people and so forth. And I'm pretty amazed when I look at your reports and see some of the things that you do. So in the area of arts and creativity, for example, have you been involved with the Zyterian or any of the activities?
Oh, yes. They're one of our partners around the ballet and the orchestra. I mean, it's and the Zyterian, they're getting ready to do a major redo-over, which is pretty exciting. It's a beautiful theater.
It is.
I used to run the Wang Theater in Boston.
Oh,
and,
interesting.
It was really...
I've been there.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they went through a major renovation. So I was talking to the leadership over at the Zyterian, and the vision is amazing. So we're partners, and we're going to always be partners with them. They're committed to the community in many ways of bringing about change.
Okay. And then I know also that in Fall River, you're working with the Fall River Arts and Culture Coalition, FRACC. What kind of things do they do?
Commonly known as FRAC.
FRAC.
Ashley is doing an amazing job connecting with artists and cultural events in the Fall River area. The work that she's been doing has been utterly amazing in terms of the different art shows, the murals, really beautifying Fall River in ways it never has been in the past. Mm-hmm. And also bringing people together. Mm-hmm. You know, being a convener of the arts and culture in that region to help enhance the beauty of Fall River.
Mm. You know, I was doing some general reading on charitable giving statistics for 2021, and it was estimated that in 2020, Americans gave $471 billion to charities.
Mm.
That's impressive. That's a lot. And that was in a 5.1% increase over the prior year, 2019. So it seems like every year Americans are giving more and more to charity.
Yes.
Why do people give money? It makes you feel good, I guess.
It makes you feel good, but also I always see there's something in folks' eyes about something in their life where someone gave to them. You know, I think of Irwin Jacobs, and I had the pleasure of talking with him. And we all know he is a man of means today. But, you know, he grew up And a very blue-collar, let's call it poor.
Yep.
And he realized that someone gave him an opportunity to go to MIT and do the things that he's been able to do. And he gets back tenfold for that.
Mm.
And, you know, I admire and respect him and the work and the commitment he has for people, community, and this region. It's just been amazing because people don't have to do that. And one thing folks realize is that you can't take it with you, so maybe I can impact and replicate my experience to bring about better for the community and this region.
I tell clients that all the time. Mm-hmm. I see clients that have not all my clients are, you know, multimillionaires by any means. We've got clients ranging from very little assets or a few assets to large-scale assets. But I've told some people, even in the last 6 months, I said, you've got more money than you're ever going to spend. Why do you wait until you pass away before you leave it to your family members, for example? Why don't you make a gift now and you get the pleasure of seeing somebody appreciate the gift and they're grateful, and that'll make you feel good.
Yes.
But you can do the same thing with charity, can't you?
Yes, totally.
You can give money away to a community foundation or another organization like that, and you'll have the satisfaction of knowing that you're doing something good.
Yes.
So,
you know, it's interesting. One of the things that we've done this year, actually today, we're connecting donors with grantees. We were at Pace putting food baskets together for the Thanksgiving holiday for those who couldn't afford to have a turkey and some fixings.
Yep.
And so we were there packing it up and sharing it with that information and pitches and opportunities with our donors, our board members, because they see a connection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're always trying to do is show the connection.
Right.
And so that people are, again, I keep saying touch, move, and inspire, but it is. It really talks about how do you touch, move, and inspire not only those you're giving to, but those who are giving. And once somebody experienced the joy of something as simple as getting some food, where you automatically just go in your refrigerator and it's there, it's, the power of that is amazing.
Oh, it is.
Totally amazing.
One of the other things that I do in my private life is I'm fairly active in the Masonic fraternity and have been for a number of years. And I admire the fact that they will reach out and help people. And sometimes it's an annual dinner for the needy and things of that nature. Not everybody in this country has enough food to eat.
That's right.
And so if you make a gift to an organization like the Community Foundation, you can benefit. But within the organization, within the foundation, roughly how many different funds are there if somebody wanted to pick and choose on a certain fund? I think you said there was three.
We have our emergency response fund. We have a staff-directed fund. We have scholarships. We have field of interest funds, fiscal sponsorships that we do, helping other nonprofits who aren't sophisticated enough, but they do have a real impact in the community. We have designated funds, board-created funds, donor-advised funds, like the McGregor Fisk Fund, New Bedford Education Foundation Endowment Fund. We have over 200 funds that we're working with to help support the community in the region of the South Coast region.
And one of the things I think is very impressive is somebody wants to know more about what the Community Foundation does, get in touch with them and ask for a copy of the annual report, because there's just a lot of great information in that about all the good works that you folks do in the community.
Yes.
Well, we have an opportunity here in the offices, and the law firm does, to make recommendations to people about leave some of your money to help somebody else.
Yes.
And that's what we try to do. So we're wrapping up to a close today, but I did want to say that if you would like more information, get in touch with, let's take that website one more time. I've misplaced it here.
It's the southcoastcf.org to contact us. And please, somebody will get back to you promptly. We'll send you out materials. We'll even come out and talk with you. Or if you want to come in the office with some coffee and have a conversation, we're open for that. And one of the things, we want to make ourselves convenient 7 days a week, so that if you have an interest, if you have a desire to know more, we'll make ourselves available for that.
Mm-hmm. So, again, it's southcoastcf.org is the website. Visit
yes.
them. And I always tell people on the radio that if you don't remember this information or you don't have a place to write it down because maybe you're driving in your car or something, you can always get in touch with our office. Ask a question, and we'll provide you all the references you need to get to this. I think it's very impressive what you do in so many areas. I'm thrilled with what happens with scholarship money to kids. Over $500,000 in scholarship money.
Over. Yeah.
That's fascinating. That's amazing. But mostly, Leonard Lee, I want to thank you for being here today. I want to thank you for all the good work that you and your team do.
Mm.
We're happy to support you here. We're happy to receive your literature and have it in the offices.
Thank you.
And we're happy to make suggestions to our clients that if they would like to make a donation, how they can do that. So I'm grateful for what I have had in life. I'm grateful for the people that have helped me. And I always try to give back. And by the way, I grew up poor also. I grew up in military housing or public housing projects for the most part until I graduated from high school.
Wow.
So
wow.
Not everybody has an easy life, and we have a lot of people who need help in this community. I'm going to leave everybody today with a quotation from Goldie Hawn. She's done a lot of interesting movies. She said, "I believe that we all need to do charitable work. It should be taken seriously in the area of education as someone from the industry. But if you don't know where you'd like to leave money or you'd like to give money, do something to make a difference in not only your life but in the lives of other people that can benefit." I think the South Coast Community Foundation is a fantastic organization, and I'm glad that you're in charge.
Well, thank you.
You and your team.
Me and the team. Well, thank you for the opportunity to talk about the South Coast Community Foundation. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to lead this organization because it's not about Leonard Lee. I'm just the facilitator of change, and I'm happy to be a part of that. So please reach out to us and say hello.
Good description. Thank you for being here. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. We will see you again on the radio next week.
USA Wealth Group Incorporated is not affiliated with or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. Investment advisory products and services made available through AE Wealth Management LLC, AEWM, a registered investment advisor. Insurance products are offered through the insurance business USA Wealth Group Incorporated. USA Wealth Group Incorporated is also an investment advisory practice that offers products and services through AE Wealth Management LLC, AEWM, a registered investment advisor. AEWM does not offer insurance products. The insurance products offered by USA Wealth Group Incorporated are not subject to investment advisor requirements. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. USA Wealth Group Incorporated is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during this show shall constitute tax or legal advice. Our firm is not affiliated with or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by USA Wealth Group Incorporated. Leonard Lee is not affiliated with USA Wealth Group or AEWM.
This radio show is a paid placement.